Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. I don't know what happened to the AC today, but you know what? It's all right. Jesus was out in the open field. Thank God we got something over us. Amen. Amen. We're going to get into the word because that's what's most important, is the word of God. And today I want you to write this down as the truth that we're going to learn today. If you have pen and paper, I need you to get it ready because we are in the series called That Secret Place. That Secret Place. We've asked everybody, and we're coming to the end of our challenge of 30, 30, and 30, but we're not done. Did you hear what I just said? We're not done. Because God is trying to infiltrate your particular life. He's trying to come in your home. It's not meant just for you to read about it on stories and see it on YouTube, or you got to read a book about what happened 50 years ago. Why? When God wants to make these miracles come true in your life today. Amen. God wants to make this alive for you today. Amen. So today I want you, Keith, get up, man. Get up. Get up. You know better than that, brother. Amen. I love you, though. Amen. God wants to bring truths to your life today. He wants to bring love to your life. He wants to show you something you've never seen before. But it starts with this understanding. Write this down, if you will. There is freedom in obedience. There is freedom in obedience. Now this is a tough word for many people, because there's a difference between good intentions and obedience. How many feel that what they do is always with good intentions? How many, you know, have you ever heard somebody do something wrong? They say, well, I didn't mean to do that. Have you ever heard that before? Raise your hand if you've ever heard someone say that before. Amen. Put your hand down. How many have actually said that before? Amen. Just as many, right? We all have been in a scenario where we wanted to live the right life. We wanted to do the right thing. We wanted people to accept our intentionalities. But the reality is that's not freedom. You're still in bondage when you're living on intentions. Hello, somebody. When you are living on, well, I want to, I desire to, I hope to, I didn't mean to. That means that there is still bondage in your life. But when you are under obedience, you don't have to say, I'm sorry, because you already did the right thing. Somebody say amen. God is calling the church to come out of intentionalities, to come out of a space where we say, well, I have a good heart. No, listen, do you have a good walk? Hello, somebody. Can people see you have a good heart by the things that you do? The Bible says, they shall know you are my disciples by your love one to another. That's not an intentionality. That's a reality. You must walk it out in order to talk it out. Hello, somebody. God is calling us. If we're going to move into that secret place, why would he talk to us if we're not willing to obey what he tells us to do? When God comes to you and he speaks to your life, and how many want God to speak to them? Let me see your hands. If you really want, no. Really, no, I want you to put your hands down. Y'all did that too fast. Because the Bible said he is the way. Hold on, I'm just going to get to number two. He's the truth. That means when he comes, he doesn't bargain. When he comes to meet with you, he's not bringing an option. He's bringing the truth. Hello, somebody. That means when he appears to you, he's not going to come and look for an opinion. He's coming with the answer. Hello, somebody. So when you ask him, God, I need your help, and he comes and gives you the answer, will you submit to the truth? See, many of us, we pray and say, I prayed about it, and we walk away. But when God brings you the truth, you say, well, yes, but. God, I hear you, but. And watch this. This is a truth. God uses natural things to explain spiritual principles. And he uses spiritual things to explain natural principles. And I'm going to give you one. He said, when we were talking about the giving, he says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For whatever you measure out will be measured back to you. That's a natural understanding. In other words, when you give out of yourself, it's not going to come back from God. Men shall give into your bosom. And that means that you'll get favor, job opportunities. You'll have things hop up in your life. People will say, you know, I was thinking about you. I want to send you this. Or you needed somebody to change your child's life. God send somebody along. Men shall pour back into your life. Sometimes you don't need to hear from God. You need to hear from men. Hello, somebody. You need someone to say, bill dismissed. You need to hear a doctor say, you've been healed. That you need men to come back with a word. But God's behind it all. Man, I got so much to share with you. I'm so happy to be in the Lord today. I'm so happy to be saved. I'm so happy to be God's son. I'm happy about it. You ought to be excited to be a king and queen at this hour, in this day, in this moment, in this world. You've got an opportunity. You are not a victim. You are the victor. And God has come today to remind you, you are victorious. Can I share something with you? Okay. We've been talking 30, 30, 30. I asked the church, I want you to be obedient. God didn't tell you. I told you. God didn't say, church, take 30 minutes to pray, 30 minutes to read for 30 days. God didn't say that to you. I said it. Truth? But I said it because God told me to tell you. Now, either you trust or you don't trust. And what happened is some went in to the whole 30-30 with good intentions. But they couldn't follow through and obey. But when you obey, there are miracles for those who obey. Now, it wasn't a mandate. I didn't say do it or you're cursed. Nothing like that. I was saying if you did it, you would be coming back to me, telling me testimonies about what God did for you. Didn't I say that? Let me give you a couple. Last week, there was a man at the altar. And when he was standing here at the altar, he came up for prayer. And I called for the elders of the church. And it turns out that he had senior leukemia. Death sentence. Everybody say death sentence. I didn't know it. He came to the altar. He was diagnosed with senior leukemia. I called for the elders to pray because the word says, call for the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on the sick. And so me, obedient to the word of God, not to Steve Yates' flesh. I didn't try to, you know, slap him with a rag. Pow! That's flashy. But it wasn't a word. Hello, somebody. I could have done a whole lot of things like lay him out on the floor, drag him to the right, then drag him to the left, and God will heal you. I didn't do none of that. Thank God. I obeyed his word. And we went around. I remember the word spoke to him that the Lord told me to tell him. Tell him that the doctor's report has been reversed. I didn't know the doctor's report. I just said the doctor's report has been reversed. And one of our elders standing behind him said, Pastor, I saw down in this area of his body, it looked like fires of coal, like lava down there, hot. And he says, but I saw a river of water come on it and saw the steam come up. I said, amen, brother, amen. That's what I believe. And then I got a text. Somebody say a text. I didn't need, all I keep telling you, it's just when God does it, just let me know. They sent a text and said, he went back to the same doctor, and the doctor said, I don't know what happened, but it's gone. There is no more singular. Oh, y'all don't get it. If you were on it, if you had a death sentence, how would you shout if that was your testimony? But it ain't over. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't over. See, people, I had a person call me and they said, listen, Pastor Yates, that 30-30-30 changed my life. I was in such a dark place, but as I started to do it, God began to move. They had lost a family member, and all their children were in mourning, deep, deep mourning. The child would cry in school, cry in church for the loss of this loved one. And yet she went into the 30-30-30, and she began to speak to God in obedience. And then I get a testimony. Somebody say testimony. She calls me and says that the other morning the child came to the mom and said, Mama, because they lost their grandmother and they were crying. She was crying for her grandmother. She said, Mama, the Lord came to me and spoke to me. Here's what he said. He says, I am Jesus, the Son of God, and I will be with you at all times. Hold on. It ain't over. And then he brought the grandmother and said, baby, stop crying because I'm in a better place right now. The Lord brought the, come on, somebody. The little girl woke up and said, Mama, I wasn't even afraid. The child now had peace where there was just disruption because the mama prayed. 30-30-30. There's power in obedience. See, it's a benefit. There's no obligation, but when you take up God on a challenge, he will meet your challenge in deuces. But God says, we got to come out of this place and space of feeling like we can live in the intentionality of Christianity and not the reality of Christianity. It is very important that we understand that intentions mean a wish that someone means to carry out. If you're hungry and you ask somebody, get me some Steak and Shake, and they say, I really wish I can get you some Steak and Shake. I don't need that kind of intention. I need some action. Hello, somebody. I need you, get in your car, go get me some Steak and Shake, then I'll be satisfied. I don't want to live off intentions all my life, right? Why? Because I'll always be hungry for more. Hello, somebody. I want to take you to a story in the Bible where intentions were meant to be good. But God's calling us that there is freedom in, not intentionality, but obedience. I want to go to Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to start at verse 40 in the King James. And I want to show you the difference between intentionality, and obedience. Here's where people say my intentions are good, but their actions still hurt you. You ever been hurt by somebody and they say, I'm sorry? But how many in this room get sick of hearing, I'm sorry? And you know what's bad is that if you're the one doing the wrong, how many in here get sick of saying, I'm sorry? Come on, somebody. There comes a point where all of us want to be free from I'm sorry, from the intentionality of being better and just get better. Hello, somebody. And so today I want to give you the clarity of the word that will help you get better so you don't have to live in I'm sorry. You look at your neighbor and say, don't live a sorry life. Watch this. Matthew 26, verse 40. Let me give you the scenario. Jesus was about to be crucified. He's with his disciples, and they're going into they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then in verse 40, he cometh to his disciples. Jesus comes to his disciples and finds them what? They're asleep. In one of the greatest moments and transitions in history, one of the most pivotal moments ever to occur for the redemption of mankind, one of the great cataclysmic moments that will shake humanity for the rest of time itself. And the people closest to him could not recognize the time. They were asleep. Could you imagine in a movie where you come into the climax of the story and everybody in the movie is asleep? You can't understand what's about to happen unless you're in the spirit. You've got to come out of intentionality. You've got to wake up. You right now, everybody say right now, right now in this church, in this moment, in this part of our history, God is shifting us bigger than you ever thought before. God is about to shoot us out. I'm telling you now so that when it happens, you can't say I didn't say it. Now, do you know it or are you asleep right now? I'm so awake to the reality of what God's about to do. I'm excited. I'm at home praying. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for your families. I'm excited for your future. I can't sleep at night. But are you asleep in your destiny? It's about to hit you. We want God to do it. But in the moment of great history, look at this. He cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And he said unto Peter, because he didn't call all of them. Did you hear what I just said? He didn't wake up all the disciples. He woke up those who had a call for greater. God will chastise those whom he loves. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. If God is bringing conviction in your life about your behavior, don't get mad at those who bring it. If he didn't care about you, he wouldn't have spoken to you. If he didn't know the potential that's in your life, they wouldn't even be arguing with you right now. They know what you can do. God knows what you can do. And if he's challenging you right now to get up out of your sleep and do more than you've ever done before, don't get mad at who's talking. Get up and obey, because you don't know what's coming. You have to recognize that God uses men to speak. If you give to God in your finances, he says men will come and give to you in your reality. So why would it be different in the principle of correction? If there's a man of God or a leader or a Christian man comes to you, a Christian person says, hey, you can do better. You can be better. You got to come up. This ain't at the level you're supposed to be at. You can be better than that. And you get mad at them. How can you hear God? You have to be obedient and subservient to God's word. And if you can do that, you can get ready for the cataclysmic change that's about to come into your life. He went to Peter and said, Peter, what is the problem? Can't you watch with me 1 hour? How much time did I ask you to watch with the Lord? No, I ain't asked you to do it in an hour. Girl, you did it loud too. Loud and wrong. She said it louder. 1 hour. No, I appreciate the excitement, but no. How much time did I ask you to serve with the Lord? A half an hour. Not even a whole hour. Because I see the change coming. I want you connected to your own change. Come on, somebody. I want you to recognize when the change comes, you felt it coming. Hello, somebody. You heard the Lord speak to you. Something's about to happen to you. And you're going, and you're so excited that no one has to tell you what to do. You're going to get up and do it anyway. Hello, somebody. He said, what would you watch with me 1 hour? Look at verse 41. Watch this. He says, watch and pray. That's all we said. We said pray. Because when you go into prayer, something changes. But listen to what he said. Pray that you enter not into what? Into what? Now, I need you to understand, I already know how the story ends. Temptation ain't always sexual or something to do with the flesh or another man or another woman. Temptation is anything that would take you off the will of God. He says the way you prepare for what will happen and temptation that's coming is pray. I need you to watch and pray. And here's why. Would you read the rest? Now we know what we're reading. Let's all read together. Go.
The spirit indeed is willing, but
what does he say? Your spirit man has good intentions. You're not a bad person. You mean to do well. You want to do well. I believe that about everybody in this room. You want to be better. You want to achieve more, be more, love more, be God's man, God's woman. You want to be good to people. You want to help others. You want to be obedient. You want to shine on your job. You want to shine in your life. You want to be a good Christian. You want to believe God for all that he says. I believe that with all my heart. I believe you're not here because you're here because you have to. You're here because you want to. I believe you have the right intentions in your heart to get all that God has for you and nothing less. But the spirit is willing. But the flesh is weak. The flesh can keep you back from what you really, really want. And I want you to think over your life over the last 3 years. Have you gotten what you really wanted? Are you satisfied with what you have? Has God been calling you for more? But every time you get close, it seems like the same thing keeps happening. Why? Because if you don't conquer that temptation, then the next time you get ready for your breakthrough, that temptation will show up again. The only way you can conquer and get to your breakthrough is by conquering that temptation that's going to come. And how do you conquer temptations that keep your intentions underground? You got to watch and pray. When we as a church go into a mode of prayer, it's on purpose. It's because we understand that something's about to hit our church. Do y'all remember in January when I told y'all, I mean, we had a stint where God showed his power day after day. We miracle after miracle after miracle. And then I said, God came to me and told me, you know what? There'll be a season where I'm going to remove my spirit and see who keeps walking. Have you ever heard such a thing? He says, Pastor, I'm gonna take my spirit away, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm just moving ahead to the future. And I'm right here. But between me and your destiny is a storm. But he says, don't stop in the middle of your storm. I'm not in the storm. I'm beyond the storm. Did you hear what I said? And then for a season, it felt like we were going through church, but the same thing wasn't happening. But I was confident because he already told me that at the end, he'll be there because we're fighting spiritual battles, not natural battles. And when we hit the map in the spirit, the fight began. Hello, somebody. So we went into prayer. We went into seeking God. And when God said it's over, he signified it with an outpour of power. And it was over. It ended about what? 3-4 weeks ago? And God said, now I'm about to grow and burst out your church. Because those who made it, they made it. Those who quit, they quit. Now you keep moving. You made it, church. You survived. No matter how it felt, you made it. We were praying at this church night after night, praying for the whole church. We want the church to make it as a whole. We want everybody to make it through. But it required some of the leaders to become like Peter and wake up and start to pray. Look what happened here. He says, your flesh is weak. Now, I need you to see what Peter's intentions were. Go back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, and we're going to start at verse 30. Matthew 26, starting at verse 30. This is, they're in the upper room, and this takes place. Can we all read it together? Let's go. All right, now watch this. They sung a hymn. Did we have worship already? We came to church, we sang a hymn, we started singing, enjoying ourselves. It looked like church as usual. Yeah, this is how we do church. We start off with a song. Yeah, everything's going well, but you don't know what's coming down the pipeline. It takes more than a little bit of worship. Hello, somebody. It takes more than just singing a song. It takes... There comes a moment where you better have a prayed up, stayed up spirit. Do you hear what I said? Prayed up, stayed up. Prayed up, stayed up. You don't go to sleep. You stay up. It may be 2 o'clock in the morning. You prayed up and you stay up and you watch and you talk to God when it seems like you should be asleep. Pray up and... They all were in the garden. They just sung a song. Everything's wonderful, beautiful. And then, watch this. Then Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended. What? How you gonna come talk to me about that when we just had good worship? Come on, Lord. We just had a good time. Don't bring me down. What do you mean? All ye shall be offended because of me this night. Do you remember when he talked about the sower and the seed? He said that he sowed some seed who rejoiced with joy. Because of offenses came, they withered. The seed couldn't stay in them. Those seed was the word of God. When God sows a seed in you and you get you rejoice like they did in the hymns, then offenses come. What's an offense? Because we already know the story. Jesus said, you're going to be offended at me. In other words, people are going to come and say, will you identify yourself with Jesus or not? And because we're afraid of the outcome, we get offended because of him. And we step back. See, offenses isn't just somebody making you mad. Offenses is where you stand with the Lord when the time comes. When the time comes. You know, I love challenges like this because it's not about money. Many people think, oh man, here to go with that money thing. This is what church is all about. That's foolishness. That shows that you're greedy. How do you know a person's greedy? Because they don't want to let anything go because they can use it for themselves. I don't want to be like that. I said, God, take what I got. You can have it. But when you see every good thing as a negative thing, that says something about you. And see, your spirit might be willing, but the flesh in that area is weak. And what happened is they were in worship. They were singing. They were ready. But he said, you're going to be offended because of me this night. Because I'm going to challenge whether what you say, your intentions, whether they will be reality. And I want you to read what he says. Watch this. He says, I will smite, for it is written, went back to the scriptures. I will smite the shepherd, meaning Jesus, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. He says, when they hit me, you're going to be afraid. And you're going to leave. Watch this. Let's go to the next verse. I want to show you what Peter said. And he says, and after I am risen again, and I will go before you into Galilee. He told him it wasn't just going to be bad. There was good news coming. 33. But I want you to see this. Everybody repeat after me. Peter answered. See, don't always be the first one to speak up. You know everybody in a job complaining? And then you the first one to speak up to the boss. And now you fired. And they ain't nowhere to be seen. Peter answered, hey, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. He had good intentions. But I will never, that's a strong word, be offended because of you, God. Never. And we wonder why he was the first one Jesus woke up. Look at verse 34. And Jesus said unto him, verily, in other words, let me tell you something, boy. Let me tell you something, woman. Listen to me now. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, listen to me now. So on the other side, I said, I'm talking to you. Listen to me now. We can have good intentions, but look what he said. He said, let me tell you something. This night, before the cock crow, before the rooster opens his mouth, you're going to deny me three times. Look at verse 35. See, right then you should have just been quiet. You know, when someone comes and corrects you, just take the correction. Don't come back and say, but I don't understand what you're talking about. That ain't me. Spiritual people know it is you. You so close to you, you don't see it. That's why you got to go into prayer and listen to God. When you go into prayer, he'll convict you about you. You can pray about somebody else, but he's going to hit you first. I learned that lesson. God, I need you to touch. He go, I need you to touch. I need to touch you. Because you in foolishness. God, me, you. You did this. Now change your ways. Oh, my God. I went after somebody else and he went after me. I'm telling you. So here he is. He's in prayer and he goes, no, God, though all should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. And then you got the band. Because it sounds like a good thing to say. They said, likewise. All the disciples said, all the disciples. Yeah, me too, God. Me too. I don't know, said Donald and Thomas, but maybe. See, listen, it's not about saying the right thing. It's about doing the right thing. The reason we're calling you into prayer isn't so that you keep saying the right thing. So you can do the right thing. There's a reason prayer is powerful. There's a reason why obedience needs prayer. Did you hear what I just said? Obedience cannot thrive without a prayer life. For your spirit is willing, but it's the flesh, it's your body that craves the wrong things. That's weak. So obedience can never be separated from prayer. If you're a Christian who's trying to live without a prayer life, you're going to fail. Listen to me, church. I'm a brother in the Lord. That's it right now. Not Bishop Elect. That's just an office I do to run the church. I have an apostolic call. That's for me and Frontier Church to lead it. But at the end of the day, I'm a son, just like your son and daughter. And I need you to understand a truth, that obedience can never survive without prayer. If your spirit is not connected to his, your flesh will be stronger than your spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? You may have all the intentions in the world to be a good person, but if you don't have a prayer life, your flesh will always wrestle with the spirit, and your flesh will always be above, and you won't listen to the spirit when he tells you to move. Do you hear me? I'm pleading with the church to understand why we enter into prayer. It's not a mandate to take away your time. It's a mandate for you to reach your destiny. He said in this text, and I think it's amazing to me, that all the disciples jumped in. But intention versus actions are determined by either having a prayer life or not having a prayer life. I want you to go to Matthew 26, starting in verse 40. Oh, we already read that. Okay. I want you to go to Matthew 26, 42 through 45. I want you to see what happens after he spoke to Peter. He says these words. He went away again the second time after he spoke to Peter and prayed, saying these words. Oh, my Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. See, what was the issue was Jesus wanted to do the will of the Father. But his flesh was saying, I don't want to go through this. He had good intentions, but he couldn't actually do it until he finished praying three times. He kept saying, take this cup from me. Come on, God, take it away from me. I don't want to do this. I can't do this. Take this cup from me. But when he went back the second time, he said, Lord, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it. In other words, if this responsibility is not going to come away from me until I do it, thy will be done. How did he get from intention to action? Prayer. He obeyed because prayer was involved with obedience. Watch what happens. And he came again, and he found them what? Asleep again. For their eyes were heavy. We didn't say it wouldn't be a task. We didn't say it was going to be easy. Prayer requires you to resist your flesh. When you want to go to sleep, when you say, I had a hard day, when you say, you know what, I don't feel like it. Prayer isn't about feelings. Prayer is discipleship, discipline. So when we go into that secret place, it isn't because we love to go. It's because we have to go. We can't be who we're supposed to be unless we discipline our flesh that you ain't in charge here. The Spirit of God is in charge of my life. And if I got to drag you here, if I've got to command you here, if I've got to put you into prayer, I'm taking you into prayer because you ain't going to rule my life. I'm not going to fall for the same things. I'm not going to drop on the same things. I'm going to get angry about the same things. I'm not going to fall for the same tricks. And the only way I can conquer it is by taking my flesh into prayer. The change is about to happen for all of you. Will you rise to the challenge so that you can see the world is about to change before your eyes? But before you can see it, you've got to be ready in the spirit by prayer so that you can obey in the moment it starts. Almost done. Watch this. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep on. Jesus. How many know sometimes you can only work with some people for so long? Sometimes they just got to fall. They got to see where the flesh is taking them. Ain't nothing more you can do. Sometimes there are friends that you are trying to drag along. People in your life you're trying to drag along. And sometimes you just got to move on. Because they'll never get it unless you get it. Until they see you achieve it, they ain't going to get it. They're going to have to fall. And I want you to see what happened here. This is such a reality. He says, sleep on. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. See, when we live our life in intentions, sometimes when we're in the midst of the breakthrough, we react in the flesh. The Bible says that when the soldiers came to take Jesus, Peter pulled out his sword, and instead of operating by the Spirit, he took a sword and cut a man's ear off that was trying to take Jesus. He wasn't even a soldier. He was a servant of the high priest. He was just there. He didn't go after the big dude with the sword. He went after the kid that was in the corner. Cut his ear off. And Jesus said, put your sword away. I want you to take what you've been using in your flesh to achieve what you've been achieving and put it away. And he took the ear of the servant, put it back on the man's head, and healed him. But the Bible tells us later, Peter denied him three times, just like God said. Because his spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. I want you to know this today as we get ready to close. There's freedom in obedience. When you obey, you are free from the reaction of your flesh. But you got to pray to be that way. You have to repeat after me. I have to pray to be that way. Would you stand to your feet, please?